Coming up on episode 294, well, it's finally here, the 1973 edition of Coverville Idol. The nine finalists have entered the studio and will be joined shortly by our judges. Just a quick note before we get started, we had some technical issues with Dan Klass's Skype connection. For the most part, you'll be able to understand him, but there are a couple points when his connection breaks up, and at those points, we ask him to repeat himself. I apologize in advance for this connection, which at times makes him sound a little bit like Max Headroom. In the show notes for today's show, you'll find a link to coverville.com/idol, where not only will you be able to cast your vote for the winner, but you'll be able to download each of the finalist tracks so that you can review them a couple times before you cast your vote. And just like last time, you'll be giving each selection a point value from 1 to 5, with 5 being the one you like the most. In 2 weeks, on March 1st, I'll tally all the votes and declare the winners. There'll be prizes, but I'm still in negotiations over what they might be, so I won't talk about that until the results show. With that, sit back and enjoy Coverville Idol.
The times are tough now, just getting tougher. Whole world is rough, it's just getting rougher. Cover me. Come on, baby, cover me. Well, I'm looking for.
Go through and introduce you guys. So welcome to the second edition of Coverville Idol. Let me welcome our judges for this round. First up, from the wonderful Jawbone radio program out of Cleveland, Ohio, Lakewood, Ohio, actually, we've got Len and Nora.
Hello, Brian.
Hello.
If I'm being honest.
How you guys doing?
We're excited to be a part of the judging.
Yes.
Excellent. And we've got, you know, the table sit out for you. We've got the product placement glasses of Coke and a little bit of an echo. There we go.
Just a little bit.
Okay. You can hear her okay, right?
I can hear both of you just fine. Yep.
Okay, great.
All right. Also joining us for the first time with judging duties, this is the host of the world-renowned and cover as in magazine covers and podcast user magazine, Mr. Dan Klass of The Bitterest Pill.
Thank you, Brian. Hey, Brian, can I be the judge that's all strung out on Quaaludes?
Yes, absolutely.
Perfect. Thank God. I'll flirt with you and be strung out and then I'll stare at Len and Nora.
Make sure you clap with your fingers outstretched, almost like... You
know. I will. As I'm staring at a man's privates, yes.
Off to a rolling start here. Also, our fourth judge for the night is Tina, occasional co-host of Coverville, always guest on Musically Challenged. Tina Ibbett, welcome to Coverville Idol.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You're reading from a script, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
Okay. All right, so let me tell you how this is going to work. We have submissions for the 1973 edition of Coverville Idol, and we're going to go through each and every one of them and talk about who's playing them, what they're covering, and then the judges are going to give their opinions, kind of give some suggestions or ideas about the songs. I don't know. You guys could talk about how they could improve. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Less flange, please. And then I'm going to open up the voting to you, the audience. I'll have a link in the show notes to where you can go and vote for which one or two or three you like the best. And we will crown the winner with a prize yet to be determined. So let's get right into it. Our first track tonight is a cover of the Aerosmith classic. This comes from a singer named Rebecca Turner. It's a cover of Dream On.
Is gone.
right. Nora and Len, let's start with you guys. What'd you think of that track?
Nora, I'm going to let Nora take this one.
There's so much to say, I think. I think that the singer demonstrates a certain amount of vocal talent, but I personally don't think that the arrangement and her voice in this song worked for me. I guess I'm used to the song being more of a powerful song, and I don't just mean only arranged one way. I think that it would have maybe better served, you know, her to maybe add some backing vocals, or maybe sing it in a slightly lower key or something, because it just seemed a little reedy to me.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I think that it's one of these cover songs that, you know, you're waiting to hear the backstory about the singer, and that's what makes it cool. But the song itself doesn't really, that rendition of this song doesn't really make it cool, I guess. You want to hear like, oh, well, this is the girl who was, you know, lost two legs in a threshing machine or something. And she's, it's great to hear music from her.
So hold on, Len. So if she had lost her legs, it would be a much better song.
If she, you want to hear the backstory. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Right.
She struggled from the back streets to finally get her gig, her first gig, and then.
Yes.
There you go.
And then you'd be like, oh, this is that song. And then you get excited about hearing it. You know, so.
Very good. All right. Tina, what'd you think?
Well, I thought she kind of had a little bit of a baby doll kind of presence. Not much of a presence, just kind of very, I don't know, baby doll is probably the best way I could
like
describe it.
The Jewel Kilcher factor?
Yeah, I don't know. It was just, she was just on, I don't know, it was just too high of a pitch for me. I think Nora kind of had it right on where, you know, if she could just belt it out and just have a richness to the voice in that belting out, it would really be a powerful one. Mm-hmm. I mean, if she can kind of, I mean, she obviously has a great, you know, high range there, but I'd like to see, it'd be nice to see a little bit more of a range from a little bit lower to higher. Yeah, it was okay.
Okay. And Dan Klass?
I kind of liked it. And yet, it didn't bowl me over, you know? I liked, I guess for some odd reason, I have the instrumentation and everything, but yeah, if she could have made a bigger choice, I hate that term, but you know what I mean? Yeah, it'd either be more baby doll or more melancholy. But I did like taking that song and making it a little dreamier and a little sadder than, you know, the original kind of. It was more estrogen than the original, which I actually kind of dug. But if she could have done it like Marilyn Monroe, I think then that would have sold it for me.
A little breathier,
a little something. I don't know.
All right, excellent. Well, thank you guys for that. Let's continue on. I guess I'm not going to say thank you guys for that after each one of these, but
are you not grateful?
I am grateful, but I'll thank
you. It doesn't warrant thanks, though, does it?
I'll give you a big general thanks at the end.
That'd be awesome.
Continuing on, we've got a contestant from last time, Dave Von Beeker, with his cover of Paul Simon's, I almost said Simon and Garfunkel, Paul Simon's Kodachrome.
When I think back on all the crap I've learned in high school, well, it's a wonder I can think at all. And though my lack of education hasn't hurt me none, well, I can read the writing.
so far from home. Mama, don't take my coat or comb away.
So we'll start again with Nora and Len.
Yeah, you know, this particular cover, I really enjoyed this one. I thought it had a really good rhythm to it. I liked that he kind of added that little disco beat to it. And also, as I was listening to it, it kind of reminded me like what I liked so much about the original song. And I think that's what a really good cover will do, is that you'll go, oh, yeah, this is a really great song. And that's what it kind of did for me.
I also really liked this. There were a few spots in the song where I wasn't crazy about the vocals, but overall, he definitely demonstrates, you know, that he's a talented singer. And I think the music in the song, the way that he has it arranged and the instrumentation that he chose, is it's really pretty hip. I guess that's how I would sum that up.
Cool. Okay. Tina?
I really like this as well. I think the electric sound, kind of electronica, was fun. I loved the song originally, and I think he has great, voice. I also think he's quite talented. I liked him previously when we've heard him, and I like the variety in the song as a whole. Like, it didn't stay the same the whole time. There's just a little bit of a variety in the musical segments. I like that.
Very good. Dan.
Yeah, I have to admit, I liked it too. It's sort of along the lines of what Len was saying. It kind of, sometimes I'll be, you know, sniffing through the CD racks at my favorite store, and I'll wish I could hear something I love for the first time again. And that was kind of the feeling of hearing this. It reminded me of the original version, but it was just a very interesting update to the old you know, Paulson classic. And I would like to point out, though, that I was born in 1973.
Oh, really?
And therefore, I'm not actually... yeah, I wish. And, yeah. I remember these songs a little too vivid, I think, actually. But, yeah, I dug Dave Von Beeker's version very much.
Excellent. Yeah. Dave Von Beeker, you're going to Hollywood!
Did you believe... You couldn't probably believe for a moment I was born in 1973.
Yeah, we heard you... claimed.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I don't believe it for one second. No.
Yeah, okay. God, I was going to say. Oil of Olay, I love you.
What's that? Oil of Olay. Yeah. All right, moving on to another version of Kodachrome. This one submitted by Randall Peterman. Again, covering the Paul Simon classic. Here is Randall Peterman with Kodachrome.
When I think back on all of the crap I learned in high school, it's a wonder I can think at all. And though my lack of education, it hasn't hurt me none. I can read the writing on the wall. Kodachrome, it gives us those nice bright colors, gives us the greens of summers. Makes you think that all the world's a sunny day. Oh yeah, I've got a Nikon camera, I love to take.
us those nice bright colors, gives us the greens of summers, makes you think that all the world's a sunny.
So that was Randall Peterman with his version of Kodachrome. Leninor, what'd you guys think of that?
Well, Brian, there's a heaviness about that song that oppresses me. Saying nothing about this man's obvious musical talent, I just feel like I have a weight on my chest. Maybe that was what he was going for.
I listened to this version of Kodachrome first before we listened to the David von Beaker version of it. And, I guess that's the difference. When I hear the two put together, one clearly stands out above the other. And unfortunately, I think this one kind of falls on the short side, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tina.
To me, it sounded like I put my finger on a record and I just kind of spun it around, and it was too slow for me. I mean, it was like, I don't know, I had a hard time listening to it because it seemed like he, like the singer Randall was having a very difficult time keeping pitch because it was so slow. I mean, I kind of felt like it was almost drug-induced kind of version of the song. I don't know. I didn't like it.
Okay. All right. Dan.
You know, I found the first couple seconds really interesting, but then it didn't go anywhere.
The first
it
couple,
was just I'm kind sorry, of this.
The first couple seconds or the first couple sections you cut off there?
Okay. Yeah. So, let's be on a section, seconds.
Okay.
Because it seemed very interesting, but then it didn't really go anywhere. And I kept hoping that by the time the chorus came along, he'd kind of kick into something else. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting idea, but yeah, I it's a long 340. A long 340, brother.
All right. Continuing on through Coverville Idol here, our next contestant is Miles Cool. With their cover of My Old School. Now, do you remember, I think, Len, you picked up on this one when we had the Say You, Say Me cover.
Yes.
And the singer was Say You and Say Me.
Yes.
And I think it's the same kind of thing going on here with Miles Cool covering My Old School.
Love it. Love it.
So extra points right there for the artist. Here's Miles Cool with their cover of Steely Dan's My Old School.
Working girls in a county jail.
That is Miles Cool with Steely Dan's My Old School from 1973. Let's talk to the judges and see what they thought of that. Len and Nora, what'd you guys think of that?
Well, you know, I really, I was picking up a really independent film vibe from this song. Like, it seemed like it was the kind of thing you'd hear in like an independent film, and that made it even more hipper. And I think that's what I like about this song, is that I'm not totally familiar with that Steely Dan song, but as a song on its own, it stands up very well. And I like this one a lot.
Cool. I love the Steely Dan song. I think the arrangement was an interesting choice. Could have bombed horribly. Could have been kind of like a really bad, beachy kind of thing. But it didn't. I mean, they did a nice job. Maybe in places a little cutesy, but I thought the vocals and the way that they put the whole thing over worked well, and I'd love to hear it again.
Very good. Okay. Tina.
Well, as Brian knows, I'm not typically a Steely Dan fan. I do like this song. I actually liked the tempo. I liked kind of the feel it gave me. I mean, it was a fun song, actually. I felt like I should be on the beach. Very simple, but I liked it.
Good. And Dan?
Yeah, I'm with Tina. I don't know much Steely Dan. I certainly don't know this song. But, yeah, it did have that kind of like post-Beck, you know, tongue-in-cheek sound to it. I really like it. I'd like to hear more from Miles Cool, although I suspect we'd never figure out who Miles Cool is. It's a different name for every cover. Exactly. Come on, man. We're trying to stalk you. But yeah, I really liked it. And it was a little beachy, but without being actually beachy.
Without was going kinda, the whole cool. Jimmy Buffett vibe. Or
exactly, because the yeah. there's no way we're going to Margaritaville.
You know what? I was going to say Jimmy Buffett, no, too, but I was afraid I was going to say Warren Buffett, so I didn't use the name. So I always get names wrong, so I'm really sorry.
But I'd rather hear Warren Buffett.
Excellent. All right, very good. Next up, we have No Quarter, a Led Zeppelin song covered by Shane Carey.
Mm-hmm.
was Shane Carey with a very different electronica version of No Quarter, originally by Led Zeppelin. Let's look at the judges here. Look to the judges. Why do you keep saying look at the judges? Let's talk to the judges.
We're so beautiful.
Yes, you
think we're pretty.
You are. Let's start with Leonora.
Well, oddly enough, this was totally Warren Buffett. No, well, it is electronic-y. I'll give it that. And if you like this kind of thing, then this is the kind of thing that you'd like. Not
wow.
Something that I'm that interested in, but that's me.
Yeah.
Len?
I would beg to differ that if you like that kind of stuff.
About me? Come on.
No, I'm just saying if you like Hearts of Space or whatever, I don't think you'd like this. I mean, I get a solid, you know, it's like nothing great. And I don't think it really added anything.
I think it was like a little self-indulgent, maybe with a...
Well, yeah.
How long is it?
It's about 5 minutes long.
Okay.
Yeah. A solid eh for me here.
Okay. Yeah. Didn't really do it for you, dog.
Not really, dog.
All right, Tina.
Yeah. I don't know. It wasn't for me either. There was so much music, so much, I don't know, it seemed like there was more music than there were vocals, and it was hard to really get a good feel for the talent that these people might actually have. Not saying that they don't have talent, just, I don't know, it wasn't very challenging vocally for them at all. I actually could see this in a sci-fi movie, you know, I could definitely see it, but it just wasn't for me.
Okay. Dan?
You know, if I was 16 years old and stoned on a homegrown greenweed and it was 1973, I think I would really love this song. You know what I mean? I thought it was... I mean, I don't know that I enjoyed it as much as I thought it was incredibly interesting. Kind of shades of Pink Floyd, shades of Yes, and yet this kind of electronic thing going on. But yeah, I don't know if I was having a flashback to some old window pane or what, but you know, I definitely admire the effort, and I think somebody might really dig it if they were, you know, uh-huh, driving to rehab or something.
All right. That was a shame.
That would be on a mixtape, right?
Exactly.
excuse me, jeez, got me all choked up there. That was Shane Carey with Led Zeppelin's No Quarter. Okay, Other Door. Moving on to glad somebody got the reference there.
Nice.
Moving on to Andrew Rothman. This is a cover of the Temptations. I keep saying classic, but it is a classic. It was Papa Was a Rolling Stone. Here's Andrew Rothman. Thank you.
was the 3rd of September. September. That day I'll always remember. Yes, I will. 'Cause that was the day that my daddy died. I never got a chance to see him. Never heard nothing but bad things about him. Mama, I'm depending on you to tell me the truth.
Mama just hung her head and said, son.
Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. And when he died, all he left us was a thorn. Hey, Papa was a rolling stone, my son. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. And when he died, all he left us was a thorn. Hey. That Papa never worked a day in his life. There's some bad talk going around town saying Papa had 3 outside children and another wife.
That ain't right.
Heard talk about Papa doing some storefront preaching. Talking about saving souls while all the time leeching. Dealing in debt and stealing in the name of the Lord. Was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. And when he died, all he left us was alone. Hey, Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. Jack of all trades. Tell me, is that what sent Papa to an early grave? Folks say that Papa would beg and borrow and steal to pay his bills. People say that Papa never was much on thinking. He'd spend most of his time chasing women and drinking. Mama, I'm depending on you. Now tell me the truth. Hey, 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 Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. When he died, all he left us was alone. Hey, hey, Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. When he died,
All right, that was Papa Was a Rolling Stone by Andrew Rothman, cover of the song by The Temptations. And Len and Nora, let's start with you guys.
Yeah, I want to say that Andrew has a lot of talent musically. I think he can sing, he can play instruments, and I think what he has done is a faithful representation of the original. Does he add anything to it? I don't know, but I think it's a faithful representation, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that.
I'm maybe in a little bit of a different wavelength here. I think this was a very solid entry. I guess he took a song that I'm used to hearing, maybe even taking a little bit for granted, and gave a very sensitive, very personal reinterpretation of it. Gave it more of like of a maybe ethereal quality to the song. Having said that, I think, you know, it may not appeal to somebody who really liked, you know, the original exactly as it was. But for what he did, I think he did a good job with it.
Good. All right, Tina, what do you think?
I think he has a great voice, great range. I kind of saw it as a Moby-ish type of a feel, and I love Moby, so it's not a bad thing at all. I think, you know, as the song progressed, it kind of it built up. It was a little bit kind of mellower. The entire time, though, it still retained the soulful feeling, which I liked. And I think, I mean, he really made it his own, and I liked it a lot.
Excellent. And Dan?
Yeah, I liked it a lot, too. I like Andrew Rothman's voice quite a bit. And it was interesting to hear The Temptations by way of Tangerine Dream or whatever, that kind of, you know, ethereal electronic, you know, sound. It would have been perfect for a train scene in Risky Business or something like that. You know what I mean? Yeah, I really liked it. I really did.
All right, very good. Continuing on with James Eric's entry, he did a cover of Iggy and the Stooges' Search and Destroy. Let's take a listen to that one.
Penetrate my mind. searching to destroy. I, the world's, my, the world's forgotten boy. One who's searching, yeah, searching to destroy.
That was James Eric with his rendition of Iggy Pop and the Stooges' Search and Destroy. Len, Nora, what'd you guys think of that?
I thought it was reminiscent of that kind of, actually that 80s kind of German minimalist kind of sound that you'd hear. For what it was, I mean, I happen to like that kind of thing, but, you know, I think it was a very interesting entry. Maybe not the strongest one that I've heard tonight, but I definitely think that it was a successful choice that we made.
If we're drawing parallels to the American Idol show, sometimes you'll get someone who comes in to the audition room who has a really great voice and seems to have it all there. This song kind of reminds me of that. It seems to have it all there, but it doesn't. For me personally, it doesn't quite measure up and really make it a great a great song. Now, does it mean that it's a bad song? No, but it just I don't think it's got it all there yet. So, but it was a decent tune.
Mm-hmm. Very good, Tina.
It was okay. It wasn't the best that I've heard so far. It wasn't the worst. I guess I was impressed at that because it was many people singing, right? Two or three vocals.
I think just James. It might have been overlaid or overdubbed. He might have done.
Okay. Because I had just jotted down. It's like, wow, you know, they can really kind of keep together, which I was impressed with. But I mean, still, I think that's kind of hard to do whether you overlay or not. Mm-hmm. To me, it was more like he was talking than singing so much. And, I mean, it wasn't bad, but it just didn't grab me the way some of the other ones have.
Mm-hmm. All right. And Charles Nelson Riley, Dan Klass.
Wow. How to date yourself in one crazy little sound. It's so hard to not do a Lidsville reference right now.
A what reference? Sorry?
Lidsville.
Oh.
You don't remember Lidsville?
I don't remember Lidsville.
Oh, really? It was like a spinoff of H.R. Puff and Stuff with Mr. Nelson Riley.
Witchy Poo. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. The kid falls into the magician's hat, and it's all everyone's a hat in Lidsville. Oh, God. I'll catch you yet. Oh, God. Anyway, I'm with Tina. It didn't grab me. Now, that being said, I couldn't sing that song to save my life. I have no musical talent, whatever, so. Take everything I say with a grain of salt. But, it didn't grab me.
All right.
Hey, dog.
Didn't grab you, dog. All right. Continuing on through another, or on to another Led Zeppelin cover. This one is a cover of The Ocean, performed by Christoph Drosser. Boy, did anyone here read German?
No.
Christoph,
Nine.
Christoph, I'm hoping it's Drosser. Christoph, I think, actually was part of the No Strings Attached group that did the Walk Like an Egyptian that won the last thing. This is a solo entry, though. It's a cover of Led Zeppelin's The Ocean. Here is Christoph.
Rocking in the
we'll start, as we always do, with Len and Nora.
Yeah, you know, we're getting kind of funky here with some of the music. What I liked about this tune is the very beginning, the instrumentation reminded me a lot of the instrumentation from Napoleon Dynamite, kind of that throwback to that 80s type stuff. I really liked it. I thought this was a good cover of the song. I liked how it got pretty funky there, and pretty good tune.
I think it popped, it sizzled, you know what I'm saying? No, the arrangement was strong. I mean, I think it took a certain amount of creativity to take what is a pretty familiar Zeppelin tune and turn it into something quite different but entirely recognizable. I think the arrangement was stronger than the vocals were, but that's not to say that the vocals were, you know, subpar. Maybe I'm coming into it with a little bit of a bias, because you mentioned the connection to the Walk Like Egyptian vocals. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that I would have done that kind of flange thing, but I didn't do the song, so you didn't ask me.
Tina, what'd you think?
Well, I thought he had a nice voice. The one thing that I didn't like was the constant use of that, I don't know, we were vocoder.
It might be a vocoder, but yeah, the
voice
the,
changer.
Right.
I think Squawk that can
box.
Be, yeah, I think it can, that can be really effective if you use it in places and part, you know, different parts of a song, but when it's used throughout, I guess it kind of loses me. It's not as creative and fun as it could be typically. But it was okay. I mean, he made it his own, and I like that.
Mm-hmm. All right. And Dan?
You know, I liked it kind of, yeah, early 90s funky white boy rock sound. But, you know, with, it's like when you're watching American Idol and you just sit there going, don't cover a Stevie Wonder song. I mean, I thought it was an interesting choice to take a Zeppelin song and vocally make it more casual. But the back of my mind is always begging for Robert Plant to scream the song. So there's always, like, so I really like the song, but there's always that hint of disappointment that it's not Plant.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But he obviously, he did a great job of kind of making it his own. And for that, I give him high marks. Definitely.
Excellent. All right, Christoph, thank you very much for submitting that one. That was The Ocean, originally by Led Zeppelin. And our final entry for the night is comes to us from a band that I've actually featured on the show with stuff that they've released. This is a unique submission. They created this just for the show, and they've even got their own podcast. It's Uncle Seth with their cover of Emerson, Lake & Palmer's You Still Turn Me On.
Every day I Do you wanna be the singer? Do you wanna be the song? Let me tell you something, you just couldn't be more wrong. You see, I really have to tell you that it all gets so intense. From my experience, it just doesn't seem to make sense. Still, it turned me on.
That was Uncle Seth with their cover of You Still Turn Me On, originally by Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. Let's begin this the final review here with Nora and Len.
I think this song demonstrated probably the most impressive vocals. Clearly, this gal is able to take an emotion, a feeling, and very successfully translate it, you know, into song. The arrangement was very simple, and I think that worked well for what her point was. I think the whole point of her remake was to showcase the vocals. So I think she made some good choices. I think this was a very strong entry, and you know, this is, she sounds like somebody who could be signed.
Yeah. I have to agree. This is this was a very good song. I'm not familiar with the original ELP song, but this, it was just great to listen to. Really nice vocals. I liked what Nora was saying, how stripped down it was. It was just a really good cover. And like some other ones on the show, it kind of stands on its own as a just a good song.
Excellent. Tina?
I liked it, too. I think she has such a beautiful voice, and it was just so soulful, and in the same way, it was a little sad, you know, just how she took on the song, but I thought it was really, really good. I like the simplicity of it. Got a thumbs up. Two thumbs up from me.
I'm glad you're not using the, 575,000%.
I know.
Yeah. 500% yes. Dan, what'd you think of that?
I think my uncle doesn't sound like that. yeah, that's a good song. It's a good song. It's a great arrangement. I am not the least familiar, I don't think anyway, with the original. Yeah, I liked it. It was sad and sweet and very well done. And I'm going to listen to it again as soon as we're done.
Excellent. All right. Well, that is that's it. That's the last one. So I'm going to set up a page for you to go on and vote. You can cast a vote for any of the tracks. I'm going to see how many of the artists allow me to put their whole songs up for you to download. So if you want to give it a few more listens or whatnot, then we'll see if they want to make those available to you. Otherwise, listen to the show over and over and over again. I want to thank my guests for tonight. First off, Tina, thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
Although you live here, so you really didn't have a choice.
I didn't.
Dan Klass from The Bitterest Pill, thank you very much for being a part of this.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. Oh, and there's someone here that wants to say a quick hello.
Oh.
Hello, I'm Dan's son, Hudson.
Hey, Hudson, how are you?
Good.
He's not feeling very well, and he's very hungry, so. But he wanted to say hello.
Hi, Hudson.
Thank you, buddy.
Very cool. We're a big fan of yours, so.
Yes.
You sound very sad. Feed you.
Feel better, Hudson. Look at this. Coverville Idol keeping Dan from feeding his children. don't let the New York Times get a hold of that one. Len and Nora from Jawbone Radio, thank you guys for being a part of this.
Always a pleasure, Brian.
Yes, are your kids? You very much for having us on.
Did you already feed your kids?
Oh, yes.
Okay. What? Huh? Oh.
All right. Thanks again for joining us. We'll catch you next time on Coverville.